Good morning to all. We'd like to gather together and worship in song, and we'll turn in our voices together, or it will be up on the screen, the song, "Here I Am to Worship." Let's stand, please.
Sorry. He was unlimited by time, yet he came in the fullness of time. He was unlimited by space, yet he dwelt among us. He was limitless in majesty, yet he took on human form. He was limitless in authority, yet he became a servant. He was matchless in holiness, yet he bore our sins. He did it all out of a heart of ceaseless grace, endless mercy, and everlasting love. Welcome here this snowy December. Maybe, just maybe, the snow is here to stay. And when I was a kid, like Rowan, I would say, yes, finally I can do something with winter. I remember some winters of snow not coming till February or March. Now, at this stage in life, I think, oh, gee, now the work begins. So everyone has their perspective on snow. As we move through Advent, the excitement builds, just like the excitement of snow. It builds towards the culmination of the coming of the Christ child. I would ask you to take your bulletins. We're going to read the call to worship together. I'll begin, and you pitch in right behind me. In the quietness of our winter season, God breathes. God comes close, open-armed. We are held tightly, gently, tenderly. God's embrace is wide. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And God pulls the cries close. God is already here. Let us bow our heads in prayer. God, we thank you that your love falls down like snow, covering everything. We need your love now more than ever. We confess that we don't particularly like some people sometimes, people who have offended us, people who think differently from us, people who look differently than us, and we are careless enough to let our dislikes grow, underestimating its power in our world. God, we need a Savior who can save us from ourselves. Thank you for your love that covers our world like oceans. Thank you for deep love that will help us care for those who are sick and be faithful companions to those who are grieving. Thank you for your love that moves us like the wind, pushes us to where your love is needed, giving us energy to be generous. Thank you for the gift of the Prince of Peace, who is born again in the hearts of all who work for peace. You slip into our world in mysterious ways. This Christmas, we want our church community and our homes to be filled with love. We want to be open our doors, not just to those who are dear to us, but to those who are on the edges. Behold, you stand at the door and knock. Lord Jesus, come in. Last week, we lit the candle of hope. Today, we light the second candle of Advent, which Rowan will do for us. Can we read together the candle litany? And will the congregation please read the dark print? We light a candle of peace, and we imagine we light the candle of peace to feel God's embrace, God's nearness, God's breath.
Our theme song for this Advent season is in Sing the Journey, hymn number 31, He Came Down. He came down that we may have hope from last week, and this week he came down that we may have peace. So we will sing Hope and Peace, two verses. Let's stand, please. Continue singing songs of praise, voices together 125, or up on the screen, shout to the Lord. 125 and voices together, or up on the screen. Thank you for that wonderful singing. I hope there was joy on your faces under those masks and a little bit of body movement for the rhythm. That's awesome. Take out your Mennonite, the hymnal, and we'll sing 182. Oh, how shall I receive thee? 182. An Advent song we're very familiar with. We'll sing verse 1 and 3.
So I'd like you to turn in your bulletin in a minute. And we have some of the announcements to make, and there'll be some sharing time that Lois will take over after that. But I would like to mention one piece of news from the executive. It's good news. Well, we had our executive meeting last Thursday. The question was put forth to Lois. You know, we've offered you a 3-year term. What's your response? And Lois responded with, yes. Yes, I was going to ask you for applause. So I thought I would pass that on to the congregation, Lois, so that it's all out there, it's official. I wouldn't want to say the ink has been inked, but that comes later at the end of the term. But we're good to go. Our second piece I'd like to talk about is mentioned in your bulletin. It's about our church banquet, and it's on December 18th. And if you still don't have a ticket and still want to come, Margaret is in charge of tickets, and she will gladly look after you. There has been some question about the Giving Project. I just want to give it a little bit of spin. The Giving Project this year is to help furnish washrooms in the new mental health building being built now. And if you go down the street on 5th, between 5th Cheadle and Railway, you'll see a big construction. That's the new mental health building. Some may ask why. They have obviously lots of money to build a building. Well, this congregation has a very long history with working with mental health in the community. Some of you will have remembered McCarricker House through MCC, and they worked a lot within the mental health community within Swift Current. So we have a connection there. And mental health, until recently, has been kind of one of those things no one wants to talk about. No one really wants to say much about. But we're finding out now more and more in our news, how big an issue it is in our communities. And they do need our funding. They get a building, but they don't get all the bells and whistles. They don't get, as the bulletin says, soap dispensers and other things. And we're going to take on that project to try and help them out with that. And they are, remember, our neighbors just down the street. If you have any questions, The person to really ask is Bart. Bart will probably give it another spin next Sunday, but in the meantime, if you want to know more about this fundraiser, ask Bart.
Do you want to talk about Sunday school?
Okay. Okay, I will continue the fundraisers. Next Sunday is the last Sunday for bringing coins. The food doesn't stop, but we will take what we have collected after next Sunday and bring it to the mental health for the food that they distribute for the local people. And also the coins will be used to purchase additional food items. So next week is the last Sunday for that. Thank you for those who have already participated. And it's let's remember our neighbors in need this Advent season. Thank you.
We've covered almost everything in the bulletin, except notice that on Thursday, both this coming Thursday and the week to come, there are ecumenical Advent services. We had one this last Thursday at 12 o'clock, so the service is still being held. It's only the lunch part that is not being held at this time. So if you would like to come from 12 to 12:30 to St. Olaf on Thursday, you'll have a little Advent service.
Good morning. As many of you have noticed, I've been busy making pepper nuts for anybody who wants them. I've got two different kinds, and the money will be going to MCC. So if you know, I noticed there's a lot of people missing probably because of the snow. If you know of somebody that wants some, let me know, because I'm sure I'll have lots left.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for being wherever we are. You are already here. We don't have to implore you to be present in our lives. Help us to remember that wherever we are, in church, at work, in the street, wherever we find ourselves, there you are. Help us to have hearts and eyes that are open to sharing your love, your hope, your peace with all of our neighbors. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to share that. We ask for your blessing on the offering that was given today and last night, and for those who are planning to give to another giving project at our banquet, our church banquet. We thank you, first of all, for blessing us so bountifully. Help us to remember that we will not fear for tomorrow, but look to you to supply all our needs. Thank you for hearing the prayers that we have prayed for health for others, for help for others. We pray for those who are not with us because of their own health. We ask that you would strengthen them, give them endurance and patience as they wait for a pain-free day. And for those who are experiencing a day without pain, we rejoice together with them. And we ask that you continue to give us all patience as we wait to see you manifested in our world. We think of all of the things that we have heard and seen and experienced this week, and we pray peace on earth, the earth that belongs to you. We are all your creatures. We cannot produce this peace, but we pray for your peace on this earth in this time. We pray for the other churches that are praying the same things together with us. We pray for Trailview, and we pray for Rostern Mennonite and their leaders. We pray for all of those who don't have friends to pray for them. Help us to reach out to our neighbor, the ones we don't yet know, the ones we see but don't get to be close to. We pray for them. We pray for your peace. And just as you taught your disciples to pray, we also pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The choir is coming up, and we're going to sing parts of three songs. The first one is in the Purple Book, 15, Hope is a Candle, and we're doing verse 2 and 5. And then we're doing Hark, the Glad Sound. Hark! Well, we don't use that word very much, but it means, hey, listen up. It's a glad sound. And then 54, Longing for Light, in the Green Book, which is verse 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you. There are four scripture passages this morning. The first one is from Hosea 11, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading from the Message. When Israel was only a child, I loved him. I called out, "My son," called him out of Egypt. But when others called him, he ran off and left me. He worshiped the popular gods. He played at religion with toy gods. Still, I stuck with him. I led Ephraim. I rescued him from human bondage, but he never acknowledged my help, never admitted that I was the one pulling his wagon, that I lifted him like a baby to my cheek, that I bent down to feed him. Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. Climb a high mountain, Zion. You're the preacher of good news. Raise your voice. Make it good and loud, Jerusalem. You're the preacher of good news. Speak loud and clear. Don't be timid. Tell the cities of Judah, look, your God. Look at him. God, the Master, comes in power, ready to go into action. He is going to pay back his enemies and reward those who have loved him. Like a shepherd, he will care for his flock, gathering the lambs in his arms, hugging them as he carries them, leading the nursing ewes to good pasture. Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. Look, I'm sending my messenger on ahead to clear the way for me. Suddenly, out of the blue, the leader you've been looking for will enter his temple. Yes, the messenger of the covenant, the one you've been waiting for. Look, he's on his way. A message from the mouth of God of the angel armies. But who will be able to stand up to that coming? Who can survive his appearance? He'll be like the white-hot fire from the smelter's furnace. He'll be like the strongest lye soap at the laundry. He'll take his place as a refiner of silver, as a cleanser of dirty clothes. He'll scrub the Levite priests clean, refine them like gold and silver, until they're fit for God, fit to present offerings of righteousness. Then, and only then, will Judah and Jerusalem be fit and pleasing to God, as they used to be in the years long ago. Luke 1, verses 76 to 79. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the Master to prepare his ways. Present the offer of salvation to his people for the forgiveness of their sins. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, during Advent, you will see a lot of titles and headings in your bulletin. You'll see that today is the second Sunday of Advent, and that it is the Sunday that we light the peace candle. You will also see that it says, dare to imagine. What is it? What are we imagining today? God's embrace. Dare to imagine God's embrace. And for those who forgot or who weren't here yet last Sunday, Just looking behind me here, there we have Lily sitting there with her eyes, her gaze up, looking at the star through the maze of all of creation. That is what these planets are symbolizing for us. We are imagining all of God's creation in the light of the star that shines, alerting us to the coming of the Messiah, the first coming, and for those of us waiting for the second coming as well. And we say, dare to imagine, because it is a dare in the face of all that is around us, all the information. Oh, we know better than that now. We hear that a lot, the wisdom of the ages. And yet we dare to take God at God's word and to imagine. For today we imagine God's embrace, the embrace of peace. So then we come to the title of this message. And as soon as I was thinking about the embrace of peace, of course, embrace to me says hugs. And you know that there are many that you know of, and some even in our midst who say, I'm not much of a hugger. Especially now in COVID times, we're not supposed to be hugging, right? Right? Yes, okay, just making sure we remember that. We are drawn to each other because this is our community. But there are people who feel less comfortable with hugs, who don't want to be embraced. So then what do you do when you're speaking on a Sunday morning? Imagine God's embrace. And those people, many among us, are cringing. This is not a good thing. It's not a good look. What do we do with that? Well, let's think about it for a little bit. I want to think in two different directions. Part of our problem when we are thinking about God's embrace is the way that we think about God in general, the way that we have learned to think about God, the image of God that we have in our minds. Where does that come from? Many of you know the Proverbs verse, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train a child in the way they should go, and what happens? When they are old, they will not stray from it. Isn't that right? We've heard it. We have felt it. So if we are trained as a child, those who have been trained in the church or within a system of Christian beliefs, we've been trained in a certain way with a certain image of who God is, that image of God. And if we've been trained up in that way, how can we as adults and throughout our lives actually grow up into a more mature understanding of who God is? We have to let go of that proverb in a little way, or at least allow it to expand. We have to allow ourselves to widen and stretch and lengthen and extend our understanding, our image of who God is. I'll say it again. We need to allow ourselves and our hearts and our beings to widen and stretch and lengthen and extend. Imagine. Our imagination needs to be widened. God cannot be contained. And the God that we understood or that our parents tried to teach us was a good beginning. It was like seed, but we know that seed doesn't stay as seed, does it? That seed has to be broken open so that it can grow and extend and blossom and produce. That seed is like what we were taught as children, or even as we came up through our adolescent years. Don't be afraid when that seed breaks open. When the heat causes that popcorn to pop open, suddenly there is new life, something that looks totally different from the way we learnt as children. And it's never too late to learn. Never too late to expand. Now, I want to give you another little piece of opportunity that's not biblically based. It's more psychological. And it's the way our brains and our imaginations work. When I was trying to imagine God's embrace as I was preparing this message, I kept, you know, gazing up, which is, yeah, that's good. You're away from the harsh reality of what you're dealing with, and you look up. And I kept thinking old memories. And, of course, I was thinking about my dad and thinking about the past year and, you know, some of these things. Just imagine. And I got sad. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. What's going on here? Then I realized, or I learned from Mr. Google, that when your eyes are going up and to the left, then you are remembering the past. You are remembering visions. You are remembering auditory things from the past. And so that's where we often go. Your eyes go up and you're just remembering the past, fondly thinking of those things, sometimes fondly, sometimes not. Our challenge now is to retrain the direction of our brains. And that happens when we purposefully move our eyes in the other direction. Oh, it's hard. It is hard. My eyes want to go left all the time. Up and left. I love it there. That's a well-worn rut. But if we turn to the right side, that's our imagination side. If you go up to the right, that's your visual imagination. And if you go straight out to the left, right, there's auditory imagination. So if you want your brain to recreate new images, try to train your eyes to go to the right. Okay, that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But we are talking about imagination. And I want to remind us that images are what aid our imagination. Images aid our imagination. They help us to imagine, well, for us here, to imagine God's embrace. And the problem with our images or our imagination is limitation. We are limiting the image that we allow into our brain. First of all, part of it may be, I hate hugs, therefore I hate embrace, therefore I don't want to imagine God embracing me. Perhaps I feel smothered. I felt that way sometimes when my parents would try to hug me. You know how that is. In fact, I have a niece who just hated being hugged as a baby. And she would scream and yell, and I was holding her close. Don't you know I love you? Both of us were miserable. She's grown up by now. I think she probably still remembers it, though. But for some of us, when we are imagining God's embrace, we might be fearful because of the image we have of God. We might feel guilty because we know who we are. Look at Adam and Eve. They hid in the garden, and God came and said, "Where are you?" Seeking. But we may also be proud or stubborn. I know what I want from my life. I know the choices that I want to make. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to believe. These are all things that cause us to resist or reject even the idea of the embrace of God. However, when we do the things that make for peace, there's some action. You don't have to try to produce some feeling or a visual in your head. Simply begin with some action. And when we do the things that make for peace, our inner self is converted. When we do the things that don't make for peace, we are also transformed into those kinds of beings. But let's not think about that. Right now, let's think about the actions that we could take that make for peace. love and justice, then we become people who are ready to receive God's embrace of peace. Historically, all of the prophets, even into the New Testament, they didn't get what they were expecting. Probably right. Think about the different people expecting certain things, waiting, not getting what they expected. So it's okay when we are expecting, we're expecting Christ, we're expecting God's embrace, but we can't really pin it down and know exactly what it is we're going to get. What does that look like? What's the answer to that? Simply continue the pathway that leads to peace, which is love and justice. Do the right thing, and then wait for your God. God will reveal God's self. Don't try to produce an image of God. Simply continue to walk in the ways that make for peace. And then with our eyes open, wait for the coming of our God. And we will get what we don't expect. Just as these people who spoke in times past didn't get what they expected. I asked Jennifer to read this wide range of scripture passages. Only one of them was today's Advent passage. But they all gave us different voices speaking about who this God is that is embracing all of God's creation. Now remember, our image of God formed from our youth might not accept willingly the image that God himself gives to us. This is self-proclaimed. God is saying, this is who I am. Look, I'm like one of those who picks up a child and holds them to my cheek. That is the image God gives us of God's self. God will lead his lambs. He'll feed them and lead them gently and carefully. This is the God who is longing to embrace us. And in fact, God said through Hosea the prophet, he said, look, oh, Ephraim, I tried and I tried to lead you. I love you so much. But the more I wanted to come close, the more you ran the other way. Maybe true of us, some old image of God or some historical image of the church, of institution, of what other people have done in the name of Christianity. How can we run away from the God who says, I love you, I embrace you, I hold you to my cheek? How can we refuse that God because some other people act differently? That just doesn't make sense. That does not make sense. Recognizing, of course, where there is injustice, where there is not love, where the actions of people are not that which makes for peace. Shalom, the well-being of all, of people and all of creation. Some will say, I'm rejecting this God because look how we're destroying the planet. Again, that doesn't make sense. God is embracing all of God's creation, encouraging all of God's people in right actions and right attitudes. Maybe our images of God are too skewed, and we rely on the Malachi passage. If we only look at the Malachi passage, very, very tiny, skinny little sliver, but necessary. Because God is a full, wholesome God, not only one-sided, the refiner's fire, the God of justice. And those who are crying out against the church and injustice or against the government and its injustice, we stand up and say, hallelujah, because our God is a God of justice. Yes, a God of justice and a God of love, a God of creation care and a God of embrace, the personal, loving embrace like a mother holding a child to their cheek. God's embrace. Are we ready for it? Are we ready? Or has our image or our way of thinking so cemented us into resistance that when the God of love draws near, we are not ready to accept that embrace? Zechariah wasn't ready. He said, "How can this be?" He wasn't ready when God's answer, amazing and totally unexpected, came to him. The priest! And he didn't believe? Boy, if the priest doesn't believe, how can you expect anyone else to believe? He just wasn't ready. Are we ready? That's what all of this season is for us, the invitation to prepare ourselves for the coming of our God. But that image that we have of who God is needs to come from God. Hosea reminds us in 12, verse 6, "But as for you, return to your God, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God."
Let us respond to the words Lois shared with us by singing the hymn 174, "Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free." 174 in the hymnal, we'll sing verse 1 and 3. Please stand.
May we bow our heads for the benediction. By the tender mercy of our God, love has broken upon us. Light is given where once there was darkness, and hope where there was only death. We go into this season knowing that God will guide our feet into the way of peace.
Let us sing from Sing the Story, hymn number 16, "Peace Before Us," a prayer encompassing all of us, asking God to fill us with peace, love, and light. Let's sing 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you. permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.